Again, let me remind you before we continue that we clean up this on Saturday, this coming Saturday. Before the break, we mentioned that the next thing we have to deal with is Abraham's distress. Abraham's distress, and that will be from verses Genesis 21, verses 11 through 13. But because of the thing that we need to deal with here, I thought it would be nice to go back and look at something that just review quickly, something that we talked about a long time ago in dealing with how we look at pressure and how that pressure comes to build up in us, something like that. Now, if you recall, long time ago, we started like this. Peace in the soul. And there are many things that try to affect this peace. So we use a big circle to represent the world around us and the various sources of pressure that will be put on us in an attempt to deflect, to remove that peace. One source that we mention is society. By this we mean that there will be pressure from the society in the sense of the need to conform. People expect you in the society to conform to certain things. You may have the need to belong. There may also be some of the things that come from society, slander and gossip. Now, all of this will put pressure on a person. That's one way. We'll just go through all of it and then we'll come back and look at it in a little different way. Well, there's another place where we get that pressure coming from. That's work. At work, or you can put school if you're in school, it's something, work, school. And in that case, the pressure could come from the boss. The pressure could come from the customers. Well, you can hardly say the customers. You can put it in customers. Or it can come from fellow employees. So if you're in school, fellow students. And then, of course, if you're in school, instead of boss, you can put teachers, for example. All of this will be part of the pressure that you have to deal with. The other part of pressure that you have to deal with, misunderstanding. Many people have had some needless pressure brought upon them because of some misunderstanding. The other area of stress that you have to deal with is relationships. Relationships, by that we include such things as family, and family that will include spouses, children, siblings. All of these are included in that area. And of course, think about friends. That's one way that you get pressure. The other one is what we call economics. And that will put some kind of pressure. It could be the pressure from here will be poverty. You don't know where your next meal is coming from, or anything, something like that. The one that most people wouldn't even think about is prosperity. Wealth. It puts pressure on people. People don't know that. You say, well, I just want to get that money, and if I get it, I'll be happy. You just don't know what you're asking for. Talk to those who have it. They'll tell you. When you do, there's pressure that comes from it. Well, but the biggest one that you and I confront with every day is temptation. Temptation dealing with sin. Now, each of these has one target. Listen here, peace in the soul. Whether it is from the society, all they're trying to do, unknown to you and unknown to the society, Satan is using the society trying to reach the peace in your soul. So what are you going to do about it? Well, it's up to you. You have the choice. Do you want to keep this peace? Or you want to conform according contrary to God's word so that you belong and yet lose this? You make a choice. Well, the truth of the matter is, in all of this, there's really one thing that helps to shield this peace. Let me use a dotted line to show it. I'm sure you know that. That's the word of God. That is the only thing that's going you can use to shield your peace. Now, I put this arrow specifically because I want to make a point in each place. Wherever, if you think about this as a kind of string tied around something, well, if you don't have enough support, what happens is wherever you press them, immediately it will come right here. So if you didn't have a support here and you press the side, presses on you, the next place it will flow to is right that place. Take away that peace in your soul. But you know, if you have this thing here, if you have a support, that will never happen. Now that support is a category of doctrine that will have to deal with society. In other words, one doctrine, for example, is the understanding that you're not of this world, according to our Lord's prayer for us, that you're in it, but you're not of it. That alone will make you not conform, not want to belong to society, not want to be concerned about the gossip or slander, because you know you don't belong. You say, well, yeah, but shouldn't I have a friend? I didn't say that. All I said is, you don't need to belong at the expense of this in here. And the only way you can keep yourself from safeguarding this peace is to have the appropriate doctrine to deal with it. Come to work. You must also have support. That support comes from doctrine. And that doctrine has to do primarily with the idea of whatever you do it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, while you're at work, you're not working for the boss. While you're a student, you're not there for a professor. You are there for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what the Bible teaches us. That in everything we do, we must do it as unto the Lord. That in itself should help you deal with any stress that comes from this area. What about misunderstanding? People are going to misunderstand you. Well, you know, one thing that you can remember in your mind, that the Bible clearly tells us that all those who seek to live righteously in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So when people start misunderstanding you, that goes in your mind, you know. Well, yes, that's what my Lord told me about. So no matter what the misunderstanding is, you don't care. Well, what about relationship? You have a support. Well, there's all kinds of things. But the biggest thing that summarizes is to recall one thing. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a passage I probably get to this morning, I don't know. It's a passage that you say, if you can put anyone, if anything is more important to you, if any personal relationship is more important to you, then you're not worthy to be called a disciple of Christ. So once that is in your mind, no matter what comes from this angle, you don't budge. Well, economics, poverty, no problem. The Lord has explained to us that He's always going to take care of you. That you can count on. In other words, as I always say this, I mean, I say it jokingly in a way, but I mean it. The Lord promises to support us. And that means He will always take care of you on this planet.
always.
Now, he may not, as I say, he may not give you T-bone steak every day to eat. But he sure probably have some what? Cornbread and water and turnip green or whatever else that comes. You have that. So that you are sustained on this planet. That you will know. Then, if it places with a lot of money, what we just finished studying recently in 1 Timothy 6 comes handy. Right? It says, just remember the money is not yours. You're only there as a manager. Now, with all these doctrines, you see, whichever the pressure comes from, you are equal to it. Not on your own now, but look at where the support comes from. This is why I put this in here. Because all of this stems from, whatever support you get, stems from what? This inner circle here. That's the Word of God. And of course, temptation, that's all we study about. The doctrine that we learn about sin and every kind of sin, once that comes, you remember that, yes, the Lord said they're going to come. But if you rely on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you're going to survive. So these are things that you have to deal with every day. And if you let it, any of this get in, that peace in the soul is gone. And I don't know of anything more important to any person on this planet as a peace of soul. We all want it. Now, it's just that how most of us just don't know what to do to get it. So, they try drugs, they try sex, they try this. Oh, become famous and all that. They're looking for what? Peace in the soul. But some people think, well, if I become a famous star or whatever they call them, I have the peace. No, you don't get it that way. There's only one way you get it. And that is by constant application of the Word of God. And that also means constant exposure to the study of the Word. Because that's the only way you can have that foundation on which to build the support against any and every of those pressures. They will come. As long as you're on this planet, you can count on it, you will get pressures from all these angles. But that's not the problem. The problem becomes, what do you do when they come? If you have the right thing, which is the Word of God in your soul, then you can deal with it. God, when I said all this, I assume one thing, though, that you're a believer in Christ. If you're not a believer in Christ, it doesn't mean a thing in the world. None of these things I've explained will do anything for you. Because it doesn't make sense to begin with. So to you, the only issue yet is whether you have come to the point where you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Have you believed that He is the one that went to that cross, took care of all your sins, regardless of what they were? He died for them. Once you have that, then that foundation begins to be built. And that is what I find that many, many times, when you keep getting this foundation and you're not using it, I would suggest that you seriously consider your salvation and be sure that you're saved. But otherwise, these things should be able to help us deal with pressures as they come in life. So with that now, we get back to Abraham's distress. And his distress is going to be in this area. That's what we started. Family. Genesis 21, verses 11 through 13, read this way. The Martha distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son, family. But God said to him, do not be distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring. Now see, we're just talking about stress. Abraham had just got pressure. Before we left for break, remember the pressure? Comes from your wife. Sarah says, Abraham, get rid of this son of Hagar. And so, that's pressure. And Abraham is now in a quandary or in a dilemma. What to do? Stress then is often the result of conflicting choices. Not all the time, but often. Stress is a result of conflicting choices. that you have to make. The stress becomes intensified when a person's decision is based on established, or it has to do with established relationships. Most people are able to deal with various kinds of stresses, but one of the greatest areas of stress that an individual faces will always be, most time, associated with his family ties, or even in some cases we can say business, friendship, associates, whatever you want to call those kind of ties. Now, although it is much easier to make decisions that will adversely affect other people, not directly related to you, but then it makes much, much difficult to make those kind of decisions that will affect those who are dear to you. That's stress. Now, it was this situation that Abraham faced. Sarah had made a request here that Hagar and Ishmael should be sent away. Abraham, under stress now, is torn in his emotions. He knows that there is validity, at least so, in Sarah's fear. But at the same time, he also realized that Ishmael was his own son. So, when the Holy Spirit says that the matter distressed Abraham, it was no joking matter. That means Abraham was under great stress from family. And so, as we will see, he gets his support. And that support is going to come from the Word of God. Now, the word matter here, when in Genesis 21:11, where it said the matter, that word matter really could be translated the thing spoken. Because that's really what it is, the thing spoken. To indicate that it was the request of Sarah that displeased, created stress in Abraham. The word distress in the NIV comes from the Hebrew word ra'ah. R-A-I-N-A-I-N. It means to be bad, to be evil. In the form in which this word appears in our text, it means to be displeasing, to be sad, to be injurious. Also means to be wicked. So Abraham must have considered the request not only somewhat displeasing, but also a wicked one, and something designed to injure him. In other words, the way he's taking it quite personal now. And certainly it is, because he's dealing with his son now. He did not take it kindly or lightly, for literally the Hebrew of the first phrase of verse 11 reads this way: the thing spoken was exceedingly wicked, or injurious, or displeasing in Abraham's eyes. So here is a man rejoicing over his son of promise, but then he was being asked here to make a choice between his first son, though through a slave girl, and a son of promise. It is because of the nature of the choice that Abraham faced that we will realize, or should realize, that Abraham was under great pressure. Now, we cannot fully understand the pressure Abraham at this point, unless we have had an experience where we had to make a decision that adversely impacted those who love us. One of the most difficult things is to make decisions that you know is going to hurt, place in the short time, those you love. You know it's going to hurt them, because you'll be doing the right thing, but you know it's going to hurt them. That's one of the toughest decisions to make. Now, so we cannot fully then understand this pressure unless we have come to that kind of situation. See, many men who have entered into second marriages have often faced this kind of pressure with their new wives, where they say, it is either me or your children. That's pressure. Well, this is a very, to me, it's a very terrible thing for any woman to subject a man through. No woman should ever do that. Of course, vice versa, no man should ever tell a woman, it's either me or your children. That's a terrible thing to put on any human being. So in this case, it is true that the case of Sarah and Abraham, this is quite extraordinary. Nevertheless, the pain that Abraham was under was real. Now, of course, if you've never had a child, don't have children or anything, you probably won't understand what I'm talking about. But those who have children know what it will be if someone told you, you need to leave that child. And that maternal instinct or paternal instinct will kick in. And all kinds of things can happen. So, the quiet atmosphere of Abraham's life was shattered by this request. We could not possibly imagine the type of tension that existed at this time between Abraham and Sarah. Difficult to understand. The tension must have gone for some time. Abraham pondered on how to respond to this request. But God came to his rescue by instructing him to follow Sarah's request, as in the expression of verse 12. So we'll go back there. Why, you see why that review came in handy? Pressure from family. Abraham is under it now. What does he do? He's confused, really? Not really confused, because he knows what the request is. Get rid of this. He could do it. But it put some other problem for him. So, he didn't know what to do. Dilemma. The support. That's verse 12 now. The word of God is going to give Abraham what to deal with this relationship. Okay? So, verse 12 says, do not be distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. That's all Abraham needed to hear. Now, that doesn't make it easy now. But he's got the support, the basis upon which to build support. So one way thing about all this is, just because you know the doctrine doesn't make its application easy. It's still difficult. But then again, that's why we have the Holy Spirit to help us in those kind of situations. Now, before we comment further though on this sentence of verse 12, let me emphasize that always the solution to our dilemma, conundrum, whatever, must come from God. That's why I put that review. So you see, every pressure, every decision you make, if it must be right, it must have its basis on the word of God, one way or the other. So in effect, all I'm saying is, when we're faced with great difficulty, or difficult choices, we must look to God for help in our decision. This means that we should seek the proper instruction of the Bible to help us make our decisions. Now, one thing that we all, I'm sure most of us are aware of that, no one ever knows everything that's in the Bible. That's why we all keep studying it. For pastors, we should study it every day, so that we will keep having some more insight to some other things. Because the more you know about what is in the Bible, the more you have insight to all those pressure areas. The less you know, the weak and vulnerable you become. But those who strive to know more and more about the Word, and that is one of these reasons that I just don't believe that any Christian can amount to anything spiritually without being consistent in the Word of God. Consistent. Loading your soul with data, information that you can use in those areas. Because the more you have it, the more it provides you the insight upon which to build your solution. Now, this also means that in following the scripture, or at least to follow the scripture properly, we must be careful not to allow our emotions to cloud our judgment. That is one of our biggest enemies when it comes to actually following what God says do. Emotion becomes our biggest enemy. Here, Abraham has the same problem. His emotion. There's an emotional tie between him and Ishmael. Not that we're blaming him. We're just trying to make it clear to see how emotion can come in and make things difficult for us. So when we face difficult decisions, we should seek the Word of God. And really, I think one of the things that most time Christians don't do enough is we don't pray enough for guidance. Now, a lot of people tell you, well, you don't have to pray about this and that. No, that's not the teaching of the Bible. The Bible, James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him pray. He didn't say any other way, pray. Why? Because you may have the information, you may have the doctrine. That doesn't make you a wise person. It requires the ministry of the Holy Spirit to turn that information into reality where you correctly apply it. So that's why it doesn't surprise us. There are a lot of Christians, I won't say a lot, there are a few Christians who are taught properly in some churches. But that doesn't make them wise because they don't have the wisdom that comes by way of the Holy Spirit to apply that doctrine they have learned. And as a result, there are people walking around with peacock head. In other words, their head is swollen with all this doctrine, but nothing in it, no application. And this is because of no wisdom. So, when we face with those kind of things, tell God the Holy Spirit, tell your Heavenly Father, I know this doctrine. Heavenly Father, help me to apply it correctly. And I am sure, I am absolutely certain, that God the Holy Spirit will come to your rescue and allow you to apply that doctrine that you know. Of course, if you don't know it, now that's a little difficult thing to do because you've not made a requirement. You have not given him his sword by which he will walk with you. How long after the winning of Abraham, Isaac, before Sarah made her request? Furthermore, we do not know how God spoke to Abraham and when he did it. Although it is possible that he must have spoken to him either in a vision, dream possible, sometimes at one of the nights, we don't know which one, or sometime early in the morning, as verse 14 in this chapter 21 will indicate or seem to point to. Now, one thing that we're certain though is that Abraham heard from God, encouraging him to listen to the wife. That, go back, that's all Abraham needed. And I'm going to explain why. It becomes important for him to get his foundation, the Word of God. Now remember now, they didn't have the Bible. Abraham didn't have the Bible. So God communicated to him in a direct way. Now we have the Bible. So we have most of our information. All the information we need in a sense, as far as determining his will is there. The other thing comes from the application of how the Holy Spirit will direct us to find it. So, it is quite interesting though that God says to Abraham to listen to Sarah. For you know what happened last time? The last time Abraham listened to Sarah, he got himself in a lot of trouble. Remember chapter 16? When Sarah said, okay, well, Abraham, now that I don't get a child, why don't you take this, my maid, and become your wife, which he couldn't do, really, because biblically no woman can hand another woman over to marriage. Well, Abraham listened for whatever reason. He listened. Well, I'm sure he's still thinking about it. Because it wasn't too long after that when once a woman got pregnant, jealousy kicked in. Sarah got on Abraham's back and said, "See what you've done to me." Well, because we remember that principle. Abraham didn't do one thing right, which I emphasize that every husband must learn to do, and that is to protect the wife properly, including protecting the wife from herself. Because there are a lot of times your wife is going to make some kind of choices, and she'll be convinced she's right and drag you into it. If you don't have enough doctrine or common sense, we use the word common sense. I don't really mean common sense, because not too many people have it. If you don't have the sense that comes from the Word of God to recognize there is faulty thinking in that, whatever it is, you go along with it. When she starts hurting, she'll blame you. Well, you say, "I didn't do anything. I went along with you." Really? Why are you a husband? Why are you the authority in the marriage? Because that's what Abraham, I'm sure that's what's going in Abraham's mind. Now, here she comes again. The first time I listened to her, that's what created all this mess now. And now she comes back, telling me something else to do. Well, should I listen? If I listen, well, I'm a appeaser for a moment. But what else is going to come now? So you can understand Abraham at this point. And rightfully so. So this is what we have here. So in my point though, every husband in this particular case, Abraham, being in his situation, has some problem in believing, or at least paying attention to this wife of, to this Sarah. So it is therefore easy to really understand why one of the reasons Abraham had a problem. Now he will not want the wife to rule him after the first time around. But at the same time, there is truth in Abraham and in Sarah's statement. That's why every husband has to learn how to be flexible. And to be flexible, you've got to be full of truth in your soul. So you know how to be flexible. You cannot be flexible if you don't have truth enough. Because you may think, "Well, I might do this. I might be sinning. I don't know enough of the Bible to know whether this step is the right one." But generally, if you have enough of truth in your soul with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you should be able to be flexible. So in this case, every husband, from what we see here, also has to learn to listen to the wife, especially when what she says is in keeping with the Word of God. Now, that sounds like a problem. First time, Abraham got beaten. And he's still reeling from it. The whole thing that they're dealing with is that first time he listened to the wife. But flexibility means just because a person made the first mistake in their life doesn't mean you should always hold them to it. So, God knowing the problem that Abraham faced, come and say, "Listen to your wife." Now, this is not the first time, though, that as far as Abraham is concerned, he's had this kind of thing as far as listening to the wife. But this time is different, because God said that Sarah was right, because she was stating what is in God's will for Isaac and also for Abraham. Now the reason God wants Abraham here to grant Sarah's request is because the promise to Abraham will be fulfilled through Isaac and not Ishmael. Now this again is not the first time that God has indicated to Abraham that his promise and covenant with him will be established through Isaac. But Abraham's problem is his emotional ties with Ishmael. After all, I mean, be realistic, whether this is really, as we've established, she wasn't really a true wife. If anything, she was a concubine, but then she wasn't really a true wife. Well, Abraham nevertheless had a son. He fathered Ishmael. So it is quite difficult for us as human beings to break free of family ties. But if we expect God's blessings, we must break free of family ties of the nature that are detrimental to our spiritual life. You must break free of those. Abraham should have learned the truth. For after all, God told him, leave the city where you were born, move to somewhere else, separate from your people, so I start blessing you. He didn't, the Lord blessed him quite a little bit just for leaving all of Chaldeans, start going to Canaan. But he didn't quite get rid of his family ties. Remember? Lot, he was tagging along everywhere he went. Until finally, when he got rid of Lot, blessings start flowing, as you can even imagine. So, this is what he should have done, and should have had no problem sending away Ishmael, except that this time, this is his son. Nevertheless, God's promise and plan must always supersede our natural ties. Natural ties. And I keep emphasizing, because a whole lot of Christians are in trouble spiritually because they hold their natural ties much valid than the spiritual ties. It is for this reason that Abraham not holding, because Abraham was holding too strongly to natural tie, that God encouraged him to follow through with Sarah's request. It is for Abraham's good that Ishmael should be separated from Isaac, the son of the promise, and the heir of the covenant God made with Abraham. The gracious God understood Abraham's dilemma, and his love for Ishmael, and his concern for Hagar. So, God assures Abraham that Ishmael will be taken care of, as in the sentence of verse 13, where it says, I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation, because he is your offspring. In effect, God extends his blessings to Ishmael, since he is also the son of Abraham, although not the promised son of to Abraham. Now, the extension of Abraham's blessing to Ishmael, I want you to listen carefully, because in the heat of all kinds of things, believers do not decipher the Bible correctly. The extension of this passage accounts for the reason why many Arab nations appear blessed. Be very notice carefully. He didn't say, he is going to be I'll make him into a nation, because he's going to say, because he's still your offspring. So he's going to enjoy. So the reason, and I think in one way when I think about this kind of thing, you just wonder. Well, no doubt that at the present time, the whole world is against Israel, and they all in good lines, as they say, with the Arabs, and I use that in a different way. Why? Oil. That's what it's called. Oil. Well, you know, this is the thing God does. If it is not for oil, we will wipe out the Arab just like this. God doesn't want that to happen that way. So in his way, he put all of them sitting on those oil. Now, one thing that we have to always separate is there's a difference between being an Arab and being an Islam or a Muslim. They're two different things. Although these days they're so confused. People think that every Arab is a Muslim. Every Arab is not a Muslim. So, this promise explains why there seems to be prosperity, or at least they sit on those oil. Because when God was expanding people, moving them all over the world, why didn't he have to move them away from that spot? And he didn't. He put them right there, so that they will sit on those oil. It's a reason for it. Well, I'm not going to the detail about it. All I'm saying is this. Just remember, that sure enough, there are all kinds of things, but they demonstrate that God's word is also valid, because it's an extension of his promise to Ishmael, and the two Arabs are descendants of Ishmael. Now the promise then is God's way of easing the pain of Abraham so that he will not have problem sending away his son. He will then be confident that God has given him a son according to his promise, and therefore he'll be willing to send away the one God says, go ahead and do so. So in any case, we should remember that we're never to put anything ahead of our relationship with the Lord, including our family members. In effect, what I said when we're reviewing, let me now back it up in the scripture. Matthew 10 verse 37. Matthew 10 verse 37. Matthew 10:37 says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, that said enough, you decide your relationship, which you put more or what you put ahead. Friendship, relationship with other people, do you put that ahead of your spiritual life? Does your relationship with anyone cause your spiritual practice to become second place? By that I mean learning the word, applying it. If you, because of any human being, go against that principle of applying the truth, you have just demonstrated at that instant that you're not worthy to be called a disciple of Christ. Let's pray. As we close our study this morning, there may be someone here who has never really personally trusted Christ as his or her Savior. We want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. It is because of that love that he went to demonstrate on the cross. Because he knows there's no way you can come out of where you are in right now. Condemnation because of sin. So he took our place, and all sins of the world was poured upon him, and he will judge for them. After the judgment, he said, it is finished. In other words, everything that has to do with sin has been taken care of. The only reason anyone will go to eternal destruction is they rejected the person who hung on that tree, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. As many as receive him, to them has he given the power to become the sons of God, even those who trust in his name. Trust in his name, and you will have eternal life. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of this word. We just now pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us to know, to apply correctly, and realize those things that are essential in our life to bring glory and honor to you. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.